Amen. Well, go ahead and turn in your Bibles. We're back in the Gospel of John this morning, John 16. It says, we just sang together, and leaving your spirit until the work on earth is done. Aren't those wonderful words to sing together? Two things or two people. Two persons, I suppose, is a better way to say it, that God left here, right? He left His Spirit here, and He left us here until His work is done, until the end of the age. The Holy Spirit, we're going to talk about this morning, continuing our series on change, on changing and growing, on God's will for His people, God's will for you to be different, to be more like Jesus Christ, to be made into His image. What a glorious thought that even is, to be more like Jesus Christ, to be changed. The Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? What part does He play? How does God work change in your life? All of those things that we're going to be looking at today, this morning. John 16, 5 through 16 is what we're going to read here together. It's an awesome thing to think about. I'm really looking forward to our time here talking about the Holy Spirit this morning. Let's go ahead and read it, starting in verse 5. But now I go away with Him who sent me, to Him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send Him to you. And when He has come, He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for He will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine, and therefore I said, He will take of mine and declare it to you. The Holy Spirit, God Himself in you, in every believer, God Himself. Let's pray together and talk about the ministry and work of the Holy Spirit this morning. Lord God, our Father, again, our hearts are filled to the brim, even just remembering the truth of Your Word as we sang together, and just how amazing it is that You have sent Your Son to die for Your people. God, that You have sent Your Spirit here to live in everyone who accepts Jesus as Savior. And that, God, You do have work that You are carrying out in this world. And God, our desire is to know You more, to know Your will. God, to know as much as we can about You so that we can better please You and serve You, God, so that we can be more effective ministers and witnesses, God, and just even children. And Lord, we pray as we think about the Holy Spirit this morning that You would just really do a work in every one of our hearts, God, to illumine us, God, to help us to understand the deep truths that You're communicating to us, even daily. And that, God, as we see these things, that our lives, God, would be changed as we yield to You. And as we understand, God, what Your will is for us, that we would be quick to be doers of that. And God, that's our prayer today. And just help us that this passage of Scripture, and as we talk about these very profound things, would become very personal to every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. The Holy Spirit. A lot that we could talk about. I think we would all agree on that. But just a few things that I think are real pertinent from this passage that we're looking at today as we think about the Holy Spirit. Very interesting, and of course I think about these kind of things often. It's as we talk about changing and growing, and we very often will emphasize our part in it, which we will again today, and that is obedience. It's easy to forget that it's a cooperative effort. And we're not ever talking about, when we're talking about changing and growing in Christ, we're not ever talking about, and we'll see this from this text too, about just getting after it and getting it done and doing a better job or having better willpower or anything like that. We're really talking about a cooperative effort. Life in Christ is a cooperative effort. God saves, God redeems people, and then God has a will and plan for you to live. And it's your job to say yes to that. It's your job to get on board with what God is doing. And God has designed it according to His sovereign plan and purposes that His people have a part in the whole process of sanctification, of changing and growing. Today what we're going to talk about, though, because of that, it's so easy to get off on that track and forget that it's God who's working in you, both to will and to do. So even to have the will to say, I want to do what God wants me to do, that's a work of the grace of God. Even that. Now, how does that work out? Help me out a little bit here this morning. If it's God that works in you and you have a responsibility, it's just, again, it's just one of those things that it's really hard humanly to sort of think through. Okay, well, God wants me to do this. I'm going to say yes. Well, good. You did it. Good job. That was God's grace. That's the truth, though. That is the truth of the Scriptures. And that, I think, a big part of why we understand that is because it's so easy to get prideful, isn't it? Man, look at how much I've grown. Look at how good I am. Right? Well, that's not going to help you grow. Right? That's prideful. So we have to remember that. We're going to talk about this Holy Spirit today. Who or what is the Holy Spirit? There's a lot of different ideas and thoughts out there. And you say Holy Spirit to a different sampling of people, you could get a lot of different answers to that. Many people believe that the Holy Spirit is a what? An impersonal force. The Holy Spirit is the power of God that goes out from Him, but not a person. Well, that's contrary to what Scriptures teach. The Holy Spirit is an actual person. Look at verse 7 with me here, John 16. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send Him to you. So He's called the Helper, in some versions the Comforter, the Parakletos. It means someone that comes alongside you for help. So the Spirit is a person that comes alongside you to help you be pleasing to God. Also called the Advocate. Personal pronouns, you'll notice, are used of the Holy Spirit. And it's kind of overwhelming in this passage. Verse 7 says, I will send Him. Now look at these in verse 8. He has come. He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness. Verse 13, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own authority. But are you getting the message there? Personal pronouns are used of the Holy Spirit. He's a person. He's not a what. He's a person. John 14:26, just a little bit back from here. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I send you. So it's very important for us to understand. The Holy Spirit is not an impersonal force, not some kind of a power thing or whatever, but an actual person. Some scriptures for you that are on your notes, I think most of them are. He has a mind, Romans 8:27. He knows the things of God, 1 Corinthians 10-11. He has emotion and can be grieved, Ephesians 4:30 says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Isaiah 63:10 says, but they rebelled and grieved His Holy Spirit, so He turned Himself against them as an enemy and He fought against them. So He can be grieved. He can be lied to, Acts 5:3. He has a will, 1 Corinthians 12:11. His will can be resisted, Acts 7:51. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your father did, so do you. So He can be resisted. He can be quenched, 1 Thessalonians 5:19 tells us that. He can be sinned against, Matthew 12:31. Very significant there. You can't sin against an impersonal force. And He has a name, the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is a person. We need to really get that today as we think about, then what do we do with this information on the Holy Spirit? But more than that, the Holy Spirit is more than just a person, but the Holy Spirit is God. He's God Himself. And is the third person in the Trinity. Here's a few scriptures to chew on. He shares the same attributes as God. He's omniscient. 1 Corinthians 2, 10 through 11, knows everything, knows all things. Omnipresent, or he's everywhere present. Psalms 139, 7 through 10, tell us about that. He has power of God. Romans 15, 13. He has the same attribute as God, truth. John 16, 13, our passage today. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. So he's truth. Holiness, that's kind of one of those duh ones, right? What reference do you want? He's called the Holy Spirit, right? He's holiness, just like God. He is God, so he shares the attributes with the Father. Eternality, Hebrews 9, 14. He is involved in the salvation of people, verses 8 through 11. When he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more, of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. And we baptize people in his name. This is the great commission that we talk about so very often. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Matthew 28:19. Now, there's a couple things as we think about these truths before we go on to the second point. This is like the who or what is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is God, the Holy Spirit. Okay, so now there's a couple things that are critically important to us as we think about changing and growing and before we move on. First of all, I'd like you to think about with me the incredible truth from John 16, 5 through 7. Just read it again with me real quickly. But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Now look at this. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And he also says that he will be with you. He will be in you. Okay, so there's a couple stunning truths there, isn't there? Can you imagine yourself being one of the disciples and having lived with Jesus for 3 years and having benefited from him in every way and just seeing the awesome everything about him, his character, his works, his everything that he did, and how he poured himself into people, how he helped people, everything that he did. And then he says to you, I'm going to go away and it's a good thing. Wow. And you know why it's a good thing? Because I'm going to send you the Helper. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. That's stunning. That's incredible. So the Holy Spirit living in you, Jesus says, it's better than him being here on earth physically ministering among us. Wow. Now, that's pretty amazing. We'll talk a little bit more about that as the morning goes on here. Now think about this with me, though, also. The Holy Spirit is God himself living in you. Well, what are the ramifications of that? Just real short, just real quickly, for purposes today, think about with me the Old Testament tabernacle and temple. When you had the tabernacle and temple, God placed his presence, his physical presence, his Shekinah glory in the holiest of holies. He placed him behind the veil, in the place where no one could go in because he is so holy. When God told Moses, we'll just stick to the tabernacle, just good enough, we don't need to talk about the temple. When God was going to do that, and he was going to have Israel be his special people, and he was going to dwell among them for a great illustration for all of eternity, and he came and he told Moses how to build the tabernacle, he told him, you build it this way, you build it this way, and you use these materials, and you use these people to do it. And you use these things and this part of the tabernacle on the inside, you use these materials. And everything had to be just so, the way that God told them to do it. Everything that went into that tabernacle was sanctified by blood. Everything. It was sanctified means to be set apart for holy use. Why? Well, because God himself was dwelling there in that tabernacle. God himself. You just don't take an old cereal bowl and eat your cereal in the morning and then go in and burn incense to the Lord with an old common cereal bowl. Because God is awesome. He is holy. He is perfect. It has to be a special, specially made bowl that is set apart. It's not common. It's not normal. It's not used for everyday purposes. Because God is awesome and holy. There's this thing in the Bible that's hard for us to understand as people. It's hard for me. Maybe you understand it better than I do. And it's not that things are held in tension, because God is perfect. There's no tension in God. But for us, it's hard to understand the incredible holiness and awesomeness of our God, and at the same time understand His immanence and His grace and being involved personally in every one of our lives. It's mind-boggling, isn't it? Well, the Holy Spirit is God Himself, awesome and mighty, living in you. Wow. You're to be sanctified. You're the temple of the living God. Think about that. That's stunning. And so you can think about your life, and just sort of an over-the-top thought might be, you know, the things that you watch and the places that you go and all those things, if Jesus was here with you, would you take Him by the hand and walk Him into those places? You know, for the most part, we'd probably say yes. But there are certainly things that we do every day that we wouldn't do that, right? If Jesus were standing here, would you say the things that you just said? Well, Jesus said, it's better for you if I go away, because I'm going to send the Helper. Wow. So the things that we do in this world as the temple of the living God, we're taking God Himself with us to those places. We're viewing the things that we view with God Himself in us. We're saying the things that we say with God Himself in us. That's pretty convicting, isn't it? As we think about this, we're to be set apart. We're to be sanctified, just like the temple was. We're not common every day. We can't just do the things that we want to do all the time anymore, because God Himself is with us. It's kind of amazing. Now, the second part of that story is equally as awesome. We'll look at that here in a minute. But just think about that, and then let's move on to the next part here. What does He do then? Because, again, we want to avoid the thinking that, okay, so just change then, just do it. Just stop doing what you're doing and you'll be fine. We have to avoid that. And I think we'll even see that as we talk about the Holy Spirit. What does He do? A few things here. He is active in creation. Genesis 1 talks about the Holy Spirit. Genesis 1, 1 to 2, hovering over the waters. He inspired the Scriptures, very important. 2 Peter 1:21. He was involved in performing the miracles of the apostles. Acts 1:8 says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be witness to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. The Acts of the Apostles should really be called the Acts of the Holy Spirit, not the Acts of the Apostles. Now, here's the thing. I really thought about this morning when I said He is involved in the miracles that they did, because I was thinking, He wasn't involved, He did them. Well, that's not really true either, is it? Because the apostles were there. They were the feet on the ground when doing the ministry, and the Holy Spirit was doing the miracles. So He was involved, I think, is an accurate way to say that. The Acts of Jesus, and you can chew on this a little bit, but really, even the things that Jesus did, and I don't know if I can say all of them, but I'm pretty sure all of them, most of them, He did those by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I think that's a lot what Philippians 2 has to do when it says He set aside His rights as God. He emptied Himself. Then He got baptized, the Holy Spirit came. So Jesus even ministered in the power of the Holy Spirit. His birth, Matthew 1:18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After His mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. And so He was involved in that. He's involved in everything that Jesus did. Acts 10:38 talks about how the Holy Spirit was active in Jesus' miracles. He was also involved in the salvation of people, as we saw in this passage. We look at verses 8 through 11. It says that He changes hearts. He brings conviction. Acts 2:37 says they were cut to the heart. He regenerates sinners. John 3:3-8 talks about the new birth. Titus 3:5 talks specifically about the regenerating power and work of the Holy Spirit. He sanctifies believers. 1 Peter 1:2. 2 Thessalonians 2:13 also talks about sanctification. He is our guarantee of salvation. This is a pretty awesome one. In Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. And that has the idea of earnest money. The Holy Spirit is like our down payment. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, God sends His Holy Spirit to live in you, and that's His guarantee to you. The work that I started in you, I'm going to finish it. It's His guarantee. It's His down payment. And so you can trust God on that to follow through with what He started. He is actively involved in your life. He indwells every believer. That's a part that John 14:17, He will be in you. He indwells you like the temple, 1 Corinthians 3:16-17. He gives spiritual gifts to believers, Romans 12:4-9. His work is evidence of salvation, Galatians 5:22-23, the fruit of the Spirit passage you'll be familiar with. He helps us in prayer, very interesting, Romans 8:26-29. That's a comfort to me, by the way. You know, we do not know the things that we should ask for the right way. Have you ever find yourself praying for the wrong things? Guess what? God has an answer for that. He takes care of it. The Holy Spirit prays for us the things that we should pray. That's pretty sweet. He gives guidance, Romans 8:14 and Galatians 5:18. And He is the agent of change, Romans 8:1-17 and 28-29. Philippians 2:13 and Galatians 5:22-25. A lot of references this morning. That's why I put them on the notes, so you could go back over them and look at them. Now, so we have this thing where God calls us to change. We're His temple, and we're not to be common anymore. But now we have the other thing is, okay, now what do I do because I'm overwhelmed? Well, wait a minute. God is in you. Think about that. That's equally as important, isn't it? Because He is the power in you at work. He's not just in you as sort of big brother looking over your shoulder to kind of be very stern with you when you don't do it the right thing, you don't do what you know you should do. He is in you. He is the power to change you. He is with you. He is walking through this life with you. Everything that you go through, everything that you do, everything that happens to you, the Holy Spirit is with you. Every decision that you make, He will convict the world. He even brings conviction to you, doesn't He? He's right there reminding you. He will bring into remembrance all the things that I said to you, Jesus says. He's reminding us of things of God, helping us to see where we need to change. It's equally as important. The Holy Spirit will change you. Now, I want you to think about this before we move on to the what. How do we work this out? If God Himself is in you, and maybe you're here today, and even coming to your mind is something right now, this has been in my life my whole life, and I have never been able to change. I would love to. I hate this thing being in my life. I would love to be able to change, but I've never been able to do it. If God Himself is in you, what about you can He not change? Think about that. If the Creator of the universe, Almighty God, all-powerful, perfectly good, perfectly sovereign, is in you, what about you is He not able to change? And the answer is, well, of course He can change me. He's God, right? Think about how encouraging that is. So no matter what you're facing, no matter what you're dealing with, God is able to change you. So now we get down to where the rubber hits the road, don't we? And then how come I still have these things? What's going on? Or how come I haven't changed? Or what's the problem? Or what does even God want me to do? Or how does the Holy Spirit work in me? Have you ever thought about that? How does the Holy Spirit even work in me? It's kind of a very mystical thing, right? Cooperation. Kind of back where we started, aren't we? Cooperation. We cooperate. We have our responsibility before God. Life is a very interesting thing, the way God has laid it out. People are born with a sin nature. We could all agree with that pretty easily, couldn't we, just from our experiences. We have a bent. We're born that way, and then we do by our own will things that are not pleasing to God. And so we have a problem. And everyone in the world, everyone needs to understand that problem. Not because we want to beat people down or be mean, but because we want them to hear the rest of the story, that God has the answer, and that understanding who we are and the way very life is and what we would do, he sent a Savior, just like we've been talking about from Christmas. Jesus Christ has come, and he has gone to the cross, and he has paid your penalty, and he provided everything that you need to be right with God. Praise God for that. So we have a problem. God has the answer. But did you know that there's another part that we often leave out? You have a responsibility. If you accept this great, gracious gift from this God, he doesn't just give it to you so that you can go on living for yourself and satisfying all of your idols. He gives this gift to you so that you can be his people. He gives it to you so you can have new life, right? New life, full life, joyous life, good life. Did you know that if you look at the Old Testament, there is very, very little that talks about eternity in there the way that we would understand it? Very little. It talks about if you sin, you'll die. Wow. God is very concerned. Now, I'm not going to tell us, well, just talk, think about this life only, because that's so short. We need to have an eternal mindset, but I want you to think about this with me today. God has new life for you now, and you have, as his child, a responsibility to live for him. You're a temple. You're a temple. You can't just take any old defiled common stuff into the temple of God and expect it to be okay. You know what happened in the Old Testament when they did that? People died on the spot. Did you know that they would tie a rope around the high priest's leg when he went into the Holy of Holies? Because if he didn't do it the right way, they'd have to pull his body out of there. No one else was going to go in there because they couldn't. We have a responsibility to live for this God. We have to cooperate with people. So, for our purposes today, just very quickly to think about some things. We need to remember that it is the Holy Spirit who changes people. Galatians 5:22-23 says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. It's God that changes you. And a big part of that is, for us, there's two things I think that are critically important. For us, not to get prideful about change. You ever done that? Man, I do that all the time. I get a little bit of victory over something in my life, and all of a sudden, what do I got? I got 10 tons of pride on my hands. Look at how good I am. Look at how great I'm changing. Look at all the stuff I'm doing. That's not anything about you. And when you change, you can say, wow, praise God. I cannot believe that God has changed that part of my character. Praise God. The fruit of the Spirit. It's God who changes people. It's God who's doing this work in me to make me more like Jesus Christ. And so I'm going to continue to be on his program. I'm going to continue to glorify him. Remember that he brings conviction of sin. It's God that changes you. It's God that even starts out bringing you conviction of sin. Verse 8 talks about that. When you're going through life and you are convicted, this is very much what it means to sear off the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. When you say, man, I know I shouldn't do that, or I know I shouldn't go there, and you do it anyway. And you go, oh man, I shouldn't do that, and you do it anyway. That's called ignoring the Holy Spirit. That's called ignoring the prompting. He brings to remembrance all the things that I taught you. Well, Jesus said, don't do this. Jesus said, don't live with my spouse in this way. But I'm going to do it anyway because I'm angry. Well, you've just pushed the Holy Spirit aside in your life. You have not cooperated with the Holy Spirit one bit. You said, my will is what I want to have done. I'll repent of that later or whatever. I'll put that aside. That's the opposite of cooperating with the Holy Spirit. When conviction comes, and usually it comes after, but sometimes, with the grace of God, it comes before. And situations are different. You say, all right, this is hard. I don't like this. But God has said, I am going to obey God. That's what a big part of this, the work of the Holy Spirit is. He supplies the power to change, as we saw earlier. By cooperating, we yield ourselves to his will. That's the second part that I think is really important there. This is a hard one to even think about in a big setting like this, but change according to the Spirit is not I'll do better. Okay? That's pretty hard to chew on, isn't it? You're telling me to do better, now it's not I'll do better. Real clarifying. Well, think about this with me. This is a good time of the year to talk about this, by the way. Why do we find people having lists of New Year's resolutions and all of these kind of things and having New Year's this, New Year's that, and all these lists of stuff they're going to change, and then almost none of it happens? Because that is, I'll do better. That is, well, I know what I need to do, and I'm going to make a few changes here and there, or I know what I should do, so I'm going to stop this. Or maybe they have a list of things, do's and don'ts, don't do this, don't do that. That is your idea of what would be good for your life. Change from the Spirit comes by obeying what God has said. And even that, you can just take that and think about it even in your own life this week. Maybe some of the failures that we have are based on, well, I know what I should do, so I'm going to try to do it, and not on, I'm going to do this based on my obedience to my God. I'm going to study what God says in His Word about this thing that I'm struggling with. I'm going to dig into what God says, and I'm going to make a conscious effort of obedience this week. I'm going to say, when conviction comes, I'm going to say yes to God, no matter how hard it is. When someone tells me, someone that I have a problem with, and they tell me that they have a problem with me, instead of getting angry with them and defending myself, I'm going to listen. I'm going to say, all right, let's take a look at that. Let's talk about that. Let's look at the Scriptures together, and I'm going to obey what God says on that. That's where real change comes. Not by your power, your might, but my power, says the Lord. And you'll find that message all throughout the Scriptures. We rely on God, and we ask Him to change us. This is a first step of real change. Understanding, yielding to His conviction in your life and saying, all right, God, I can't do that. Help me. Help me, God. I'm going to obey You as much as I can, God, and I need Your help to change me. Your attitude needs to be, please help me. Think about that. Isn't that true? Please, God, help me. We're on our knees. We sang that this morning, right? I'm on my knees, God, help me. You are the Redeemer. I'm not. Ephesians 3:20 says that, now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. Isn't that something? God can do anything. He can change anything in your life. Are you on board with Him? Are you yielding to what He is doing? Are you letting Him change you? He uses the Bible to change us, another very important part. The Holy Spirit was the one that moved men, inspired the Bible, and He uses that same word that He inspired to change us. In many ways, it's very mystical in that we won't understand it, and maybe ever, certainly until we get to heaven, but in many ways, it's not all that mystical. It basically boils down to, here's what God has said. Do you trust Him? Do you believe Him? Are you really going to put into practice the things that God says? Do you really believe Him? Isn't it interesting that faith is not so much this warm, fuzzy feeling of faith, but faith is really living out what you believe about God. That's what faith is. We can talk about faith all day long. We can talk about what we believe about God all day long. But what do you do when you're faced with a hard decision in life and God has said something that you don't want to do or you don't want to hear, but it's God that has said it? It's in the Bible. And God tells you, look, right here, it's my word to you. Faith is saying, all right, God, yes. No matter what, yes. That's what the Holy Spirit uses to change us. John 14:26. The Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. That's His ministry in your life. He uses the Word of God. Real change comes by applying the Word of God. It comes by yielding in obedience to what God has already said to you. It's not your willpower. It's not your New Year's resolution. It's not your good desire. Sometimes those desires are even very good to change. But it's really, and that really helps clarify life quite a bit, doesn't it? Because it's not like, well, here's what I think you should do, and here's my list of stuff for you, and here's what I would like to see in your life, and here's how I'd like to see you change. But it's like, what has God said? That's enough, isn't it? There's a guy I know, he said, the Bible's thick enough. Right? It's thick enough. We got enough stuff in there to work on. We don't need to add more and more lists and stuff to do. Let's just do what God says. And the Holy Spirit will bring conviction according, He'll bring remembrance what Jesus has said. He'll bring to remembrance the things that we know from the Scriptures. And then we say yes to God. Our part is cooperation. That's really what cooperation means. It's just to be on board, to be on the same plan, the same program. Verse 14 here, as we kind of wrap up for this morning. One last ministry of the Holy Spirit that we'll talk about. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and will declare it to you. He will glorify me. Jesus Christ talking. As we, and ours is the same, the same ministry today. The Holy Spirit brings glory to Jesus Christ by his work in your life. Just think about how that is. When you yield to what God says, especially when it's hard, God is greatly glorified. When you change according to God's word and by the power of his Spirit, God is greatly glorified. And think about some of the testimonies that you even know from history or whatever. People who have been down a certain path in their life and God has completely turned them and changed them to a new place and a new direction in life. What happens when you hear about those people? God is glorified. People say, wow. You know, I have that testimony in my life. If people that knew me from years ago see me now, they're like, whoa, how? You know, what happened there? What happens? The glory, it's the grace of God. God is glorified by that. Your life, as you cooperate with the Holy Spirit, that you have the same goal that he has. He will glorify me. And so your goal is to bring God glory in this world, right? Praise God, that's a better life for you. Praise God, that life is sweeter when we live God's way. But really, ultimately, the goal is not that. The goal is to glorify God. That's the only good goal for a person to have. God, I'm going to yield to your will. I'm going to yield to your Spirit because I want you to have the maximum glory in this world. We cooperate with the Holy Spirit by getting on God's program to be filled with his ways. Ephesians 5:18, do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. What's it mean to be filled with something? Well, think about just the thing of wine there. What happens when you're filled with wine? You're yielded to whatever it has for you that day, right? You're stumbling around, you're doing whatever. But be filled with the Spirit instead. Be filled with the things of God. Fill yourself with the things of God. Be yielded over to his will and his purposes in your life. Glorify God by your obedience, living for him. Life is a cooperative effort in Christ. In Christ, God has designed life for the believer to be one where he receives the most glory because he gives us choices to make every day. Isn't that something? God knows who we are, right? He's all wise. And think about that. He lets us, knowing who we are and what we do and how we think, make choices. He gives us choices whether to say yes to him or to say no to him. He gives us choices. When you get up in the morning, you have a choice to throw your shoes on and go do what you want to do, or you have a choice to get into the Word of God, to pray to him, to turn your day over to him, to enjoy the life that he has given you and the day that he has given you, and to glorify him with your decisions and your thoughts, or you have a choice to do the other thing, like people that don't know him do. The ministry of the Holy Spirit in your life is that you're a temple. And you have responsibility. But praise God, he has given you all the power you need to change. And he has clearly communicated to you his will so that you can please him. So the main application for you today is just to say yes. Yes, God. Yes, I'm going to do what you say. Yes, God, I'm going to change. I'm going to obey. I'm going to obey what you say. And I'm going to let you, and I'm going to pray for you to work in my life and to change me. Praise God for his wonderful gift to his church and his people. Let's go ahead and pray together. Lord God, again, we know that certainly we didn't spend nearly enough time talking about the glorious ministry of the Holy Spirit this morning, but help us all to understand, God, His ministry in our lives. I think a big part of our failures often, God, we know, is that we try to do it on our own. And we try to be the one that's the agent of change when you are the agent of change. We're not the agent of change. God, we try to change by our own willpower when you are the all-powerful God. We try to change according to our own ideas when you have already told us, God, your will. Lord, help us to be on your program. And, oh God, help us to grow in not shutting off the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives. God, to bring conviction and to help us with repentance, God, and to bring into remembrance your wonderful word. God, might our lives bring maximum glory to you. And thank you, God, that you've so worked it out that life is sweet in Christ. And God, that obedience to you is perfect, God. It's not a burdensome life at all, but a wonderful life. And changing and growing, though it's painful at times, yields an amazing fruit of righteousness, which is incredible joy, as we'll talk about soon. God, we just pray that you'd continue to strengthen your people, continue to use your Spirit mightily among us, and God, just continue to do that work of saving and redeeming those that don't know you in this world. And we thank you that we know that you are and will, and just pray that you'd even use us in those endeavors. In Jesus' name, amen.